time to Follow the Money with your hosts, Mitch Moss and Polly Howard.
Welcome into the program today. Mitch Moss, Polly Howard with you here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. A lot of fun this hour. Reed Fowler from DraftKings on golf coming up in about 5 minutes. And we will talk to Paul Charchian, Fantasy Football Hall of Famer, for two segments coming up later on, beginning in about a half an hour. Pauly, it looks like Oosthuizen gave one back. He bogeyed his most recent hole, so he is one under through four. We do have two other golfers right now at two under. Ben Ahn, who eagled his second hole. He's gone par since, but he's two under. And that is the same for Wyndham Clark. He also eagled the same hole as Ben Ahn. So Wyndham Clark is at two under through two. And now also coming up this hour, we have a lot of the big boys with the tee times going at it.
Yep. I'm waiting on these guys. Yes. Then we'll get this sucker going here. It'll be fun. This is going to be a fun, fantastic tournament. FTM at VSiN.com. Be part of the show. Email, tweet, Richard Robinson. Yeah, so we talked about those props earlier. Faraway places. Would a team get kicked out of the NBA bubble, or a player removed, or a player kicked out? He wants, will a first major sport to show a player, head coach, or manager wearing a mask during a game?
So during game play?
Yeah. What if a coach will do it, or a manager? Do we know? Will a baseball player do it? I wouldn't be surprised if a baseball player does it next Thursday.
Well, I've seen pictures and video of baseball players wearing them during practice.
I've seen that in the scrimmages. Yeah, I've seen the same thing. Uh-huh. Interesting. Yeah, why not?
Throw that up. That's a good question. How about an NBA coach, Paul? How about that angle?
There's some
older
ones.
Guy. Popovich.
Gentry. Yeah. D'Antonio. Sure. Yep. I could see it.
That's a good idea for a prop.
Why not? Yeah, put it all up. Every sport. Fantastic. And what do you think of the Henry contract? How about that? 25 guaranteed.
Yeah. You know what? I don't think it was outrageous.
No, not
overall,
at all.
Though. No, what it was like $50 million? That's okay. Yeah. They can build around that. That's not going to break the bank for that team.
Yeah.
I thought it was a pretty good job by both sides, actually, especially Tennessee. So I have no problem there whatsoever. Thought it was a job well done. And I was looking more into Henry last night. Again, if they get him going in the first 6-8 games of the season, the way he has finished the last 2 years, he's so big, he's so strong, he's such a beast. And his last 8 games, the last couple of seasons have been so good. I don't think he's going to wear out. I think he's the one that wears out the opponent. If they win 9-10 games, possibly that division, a lot of big ifs here that I'm running at you. I know I get that. And he goes for, 2,000, or he pushes for that. He might be in the mix for the MVP.
Yeah. Good job. Bet Rivers. Yeah. 1325 and a half rushing yards. Well, I don't think they'll regret that. I think if there's a contract they regret, it could be Tannehill. Henry has produced. He's been steady year in, year out. Tannehill's had one good year. It's like, here's $100 million, he was great last year, but what has Tannehill done? Come on. It's $100 million.
Welcome into the program today. This is Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss, along with Paulie Howard. So the memorial is underway, and joining us to talk about it right now is Reed Fowler, who is with DraftKings. Reed, thanks for the time this morning. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Doing really well. All right. Really well. I want to begin, like every book out here in Las Vegas, it's pretty much going to be the same for Tiger Woods. The amount of tickets on him, the money bet on him, he's pretty much going to be 1-2 or at or near the very top of the list in both those categories. Is it the same thing with you? I'm guessing it's like people are betting him like he's in his prime.
Yeah, I mean, Tiger's one of these guys that rest, and the amount of rest that he gets, the more it directly correlates with the success of how he does. We know that he sets up his schedule probably, since the mid 2005, 2006-ish, around there, where he basically was winning every single tournament, and his odds were, we've never seen odds like that before, where he was close to a 50% favorite to win the tournament every single time he teed it up. You're starting to see now the schedule that he's just not going to play these other events that is not sponsored, that's not one of his sponsors, or not one of the majors, especially because the last time that we saw Tiger at the Genesis Invitational, after that, he was dealing with his back injury, and he wasn't going to play the players. And so we started to see that he was breaking down a little bit. And especially with Tiger, the more rest that he gets, the better that he potentially plays. And at that number, if you saw Tiger at 25-1 or even closer to 20, you would have said there's no way. Like, seeing Tiger Woods at that number is just, it's too enticing.
Yep. Who did you like this week going into the tournament? I mean, it's such a great field. We ran down that number. I think it was ESPN Stats and Info who had it. This is a better field, according to the strength of field overall, than 18 majors going back to 2000. It's really shaping up to be a great tournament.
Yeah, I mean, most of the top 25 guys are here. Adam Scott, Tommy Fleetwood are still the two of the top 15 that haven't showed up yet, and we'll get them in the next consecutive tournaments. Fleetwood's coming back at the 3M next week, and then Scott coming back at the WGC St. Jude in a couple of weeks. But yeah, looking at the board, I mean, the one guy that wasn't really getting talked about, and you can really go from the very top at Bryson DeChambeau, JT, all the way down to guys like Xander and Brooks Koepka, but someone in the middle there that wasn't getting talked about is Dustin Johnson. He was coming in at 17-1. And you know, we know that DJ, when he wins in bunches. And the last time that we saw him out at Travelers at TPC River Highlands, the one club that is his best asset wasn't working. The driver was essentially the club that was going to lose it for DJ. And he still won. He was able to make a ton of putts. One of the things that we talked about, after that win for DJ is that the putting and the short game was there to help him out. And so Dustin Johnson coming in at this type of course at Memorial, at Muirfield, we know Jack Nicklaus loved to play the fade. We know that caters, the course caters to guys that play the left to right. So for the right-handers, it's a fade. For guys like Phil, it's going to be a little bit of a draw. But like that's the type of game that you need here at Muirfield. Keep it in the fairway. You know, DJ can club down off the tee with a 3-wood and then get those wedges in close.
Reed, what if DeChambeau wins? I mean, he's kind of become the new Tiger here as far as a liability. I mean, you see at some spots he's 10 at your place, but he's 9-1 at other spots, and he's the favorite now to win these the three majors too.
Yeah, and if you look at most outrights, the outright market hasn't really had a ton of value since coming back from the shutdown. Justin Thomas was in that playoff last week, and he was the favorite coming into the Workday Charity last week. And then before that, Bryson DeChambeau at the Rocket Mortgage, he was also a favorite. Dustin Johnson, when he won, he was 25-30, depending on where you got him. But the outright market right now is not really, doesn't really have a ton of value. So now if you're looking at this specifically, this is the first tournament that we see that, man, look at Brooks Koepka, 28-1. At all of the majors, when you talk about the PGA, Masters, U.S. Open, you're getting twice the 2X odds here at this venue over what his odds are at the majors. And so when Bryson DeChambeau comes out and leads the field as the betting favorite, you start to think, okay, well, there's a good chance that he's going to win this tournament just because of how he's done and the type of player that he is. But the value just isn't there. You talk about, like I just mentioned, Brooks Koepka at 28. I mean, he could come out and he could storm the field and you know, win this tournament, even though he didn't make the cut last week. That's how good he is. So if he wins, you're going to start to see that more golfers are going to start to look like Bryson DeChambeau and just practice what he's preaching, because like he's hitting it far and he's hitting it straight. That's what all of these guys are saying. The distance is impressive, but the accuracy is even more impressive.
I think you're spot on with that. We're going to see other golfers begin to be like, okay, I got to add 15, 20 pounds. I think that the prop you guys have up is longest drive, 380 and a half yards throughout the tournament, which is crazy. What do you make of JT this week, trying to rebound after that epic collapse and then losing in the playoff to Morikawa?
Yeah, one interesting stat about Justin Thomas is that in the few times that he's been in a playoff, then the following week, he just doesn't win. He doesn't necessarily play all that well. Maybe it's a little bit of a hangover for not winning the tournament. But this is a different type of, this is just a different dynamic that we're going to get having two tournaments back to back. I think we have to go back to the 50s to even see when that was the case. But, you know, Justin Thomas, another player, too, that you saw last week that the putter on in some areas was ailing him, but it was also what got him back into the playoff. I mean, you're seeing it right now. This guy is one of the best ball strikers that golf has seen in the last 10, 15 years. He's just amazing. And one great thing about JT is that he's one of the players that can mix distance with the short game. He's fantastic around the greens. And that's really what you need here. It's strokes gained approach, which is the number one statistic that we see correlating to success of the top five golfers, gaining close to an average of 5 strokes last week with their irons, but also around the green. You saw how difficult it was around the greens. This rough is super thick. And they said that they're not going to cut down the rough and they're not going to mow it from last tournament to this week. So with the harder greens, the harder fairways, you're going to see a lot of guys having to chip and pitch around the greens. And JT, if you look at since coming back from the shutdown, he's top 25 in strokes gained short game, which includes around the green and putting. So when you look at that, there's value elsewhere, like I mentioned, like DJ Webb Simpson is coming back and no one's talking about him. And he won a couple of weeks ago or a couple of tournaments ago. And so there's just a ton of value. It feels like a major. That's why going down the board a little bit in the 20s is where I wanted to go.
Let's follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with Paulie Howard. We are talking about the Memorial Tournament going on right now with Reed Fowler, who is with DraftKings. Reed, I want to ask you about some of the, you know, just the overall betting menu that's available at DraftKings and some of the stuff that we don't have, as far as I know, out here in Las Vegas, any of this stuff. For example, the first round leader. I would love it if books out here in Vegas would offer the first round leader. Is that something that you like to look at every single week? And is that a popular prop that is available at DraftKings?
Yeah, it's. I mean, I really like looking at it because you can get some of these guys that are 150, 200 to 1 that will pop up on the leaderboard. I mean, how many times have we, you know, watched a golf tournament on Thursday and you see this random name at the very top because you just people don't realize who that golfer is. Maybe he's on a heater from last week. But if you start to look at some of these, right, where you get Daniel Berger, you see on the screen here at 50 to 1. But other players like Byung-Hung An, who's leading this tournament right now at 66 to 1 to be leader after the first round. What's great about it is that if Benny An, you know, comes out and has a round of his life, right, and he loves this course, by the way. He's played fantastically. I mean, he's played fantastic. He was in that playoff with Bryson DeChambeau a couple of years ago, and then Bryson did prevail back in 2018. But he also putts really well at this course. And so a great thing about it is you can back Benny on, but then not have to worry about him winning the tournament, which is, you know, maybe sometimes that Benny Ann doesn't have the putter going all 4 days. But you can also get guys like CT Pan, you know, like these guys that are in the 200 ranges or the 150 ranges that last week had a great approach game, but just couldn't get the putter going. So it's a fantastic way to just have some action on the first day at much better odds.
Yes.
How about the nationality props? And you guys, I mean, you're offering, you know, USA, Europe, English, yep, Australia, South Africa. There are many, many more. Not only, by the way, Reed, can you bet on the nationality props, who's going to be the winner of that after 4 rounds of golf, but you can bet like top 3, top 5 in the nationality props as well.
Yeah. I mean, and it's more because, like, and especially with golf, right? It's talking specifically about golf. There's so many ways that you can go when you bet just right now. And this doesn't include, hopefully, in the future, right? When we look at in-game betting and in-game, in-tournament betting, where you start to see the lines move, right? We saw it back at the match with Tiger and Phil. You see it every single tournament that the odds move. And so how do you hedge coming into the weekend or coming into Sunday, where JT at one point was 6-1 after he went bogey, bogey, and then rattled off a couple of pars on Sunday. Then you could have got him at 6-1, which was a fantastic number, right? And so you start talking about golf, and then, like you guys are mentioning, those nationality props, it's adding the attraction and the allure to the game that now with golf at the forefront and so many great golfers across the entire world, a lot of people don't potentially know about, like a Brendan Grace, right? Or, I mean, Louis Oosthuizen, he's a little bit more popular, but we have a lot of guys out there that if you don't necessarily trust that they're going to win this type of tournament, this, you know, stacked field, go over to the nationality props. Bryson has his own section of Bryson props. Tiger this week has his own section of Tiger props to see, like, if he'll eagle in the tournament, if he'll hole out at any point in the tournament. It's just another way, right, where you don't necessarily have to pick the winner, which is extremely difficult picking the one guy out of the 133 that's entering this tournament. You know, look at some of these other prop bets. It's just a fun way to add even more excitement to when you're watching.
So Paulie is Mr. Anti-Fun with a hole-in-one. He bets the no yes. pretty much every single week. Can you believe this out of this guy? Every week. Come on, no hole-in-one. It's like 4 out of 5 now. We've had a hole-in-one since the restart.
Yeah.
Yeah, and these guys, look, they're so good. When you hear Colin Morikawa talk to his ball in the air, it's not like you and I, it's not like us, right? Where we're like, oh, no, don't go in the water. Like, sit, it's going to go in the water. He's talking to it, and when these guys say be good, it's not like, oh, 3 or 4 feet. It's like they're going to dunk it. They're going to make it. So, I mean, when they're getting a hole in one, I'd say the majority of the time it's because they're really good and they look at some of these holes like, well, this par three is definitely an ace, a possibility here. And it's just fun, right? Like the chances of it happening are you know, slim, especially if you look at in round one, right? +275, it's slim, especially when you have to do it on the only one of 4 par 3s. But when you talk about the best in the world, you know, getting an albatross, I think, is a nice one, a double yes. eagle or a hole in one. It's just another way, because we've seen it before, especially in these majors. Brooks Koepka can hole out, you know, his second shot on a par five. It's these guys always do it. So it's a fun way to watch the game.
You can follow Reed on Twitter. He is at Reed T. Fowler with DraftKings. Reed, good to talk to you today. Thanks so much for the time.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Yep, enjoy the tournament. And right now, Oosthuizen is back to 2 under through 5.
Oh,
Wyndham Clark.
On gave one back. So before Oosthuizen had the birdie, you had 8 guys at 1 under. So I got the damn thing on, and you're ahead of me. What gives? Come on. Good
you're
job
on
by
delay.
The crew.
You're on delay. Well, the PGA app is fired up.
I shouldn't be that late with the NBC Sports Gold. Come on. And Morikawa's teeing off right now. You know, the thing Reed mentioned, and this just isn't for golf, but this is instant gratification, right? People can't get enough. Ping pong. There's a match every 10 minutes. First period, unders or overs in hockey. Yes, no, a run scored in Major League Baseball. First inning. Who's going to lead in the first round? First round matchups. Tiger hit the fairway on his first tee shot. All that stuff. I mean, give it to me right now. People want the instant gratification. That's great. And also the creative props. Bet Rivers, which we talked about, their big menu, DraftKings. I mean, these books are very creative with all the stuff they're putting up and the six packs, you know, six shooter that Bet Rivers has and the group A, B, C, D, all of that. But you're right. All the stuff they had, Eagle, how many holes, not just one hole in one, will there be two, and all the stuff that they offer. It's fantastic. And golf is delivered, and the people are falling in love with this because the in play is one thing. But now you see these big names, and you're seeing DeChambeau 9-1 and 10-1. And look
they
at that.
The
first round scores. Yep.
So they also offer the straight forecast. I know Bet Rivers does this as well.
Right.
So it's like picking a horse race, who's going to finish first and second, right? So the shortest shot on the board is DeChambeau and Thomas going 1-2, 110-1. I mean, it is going to be exceedingly difficult to pull that out and actually peg not only who's going to win the tournament. That's difficult enough, right? But then you got to pick who's going to finish second. If you do that once, though, like your golf betting bankroll is going to be set for the entire year because the payoffs are so monstrous. But again, level of difficulty on that is a 10.0.
You know, I don't know what that was when Indy Jeff hit it. Who knows what that would have paid for Simpson and Answer 1-2, and he gave out both guys. I mean, Answer was 70-1. That would have been a juicy ticket, I'm sure. So stuff like that's great. This is phenomenal. Now the big boys are getting out there. We'll see what happens here with the big names.
You know, we have a major coming up in less than a month now. That's going to be at Hardy Park in San Francisco.
That's what that handle will be like.
Yeah. That's huge. I mean, the Masters in November, fingers crossed with the NFL. And like we kicked around, well, we've been saying this for a long time now, like golf now, Paul, I've always liked golf. I've been betting on it for a long time. But even for me, like it's gone up a couple of notches here with no other sport. And I don't foresee it ever going back. I love watching it. I love betting it. It's a great sport. It's certainly for me in my top four sports to watch and bet on. I love it.
Well, it will continue, and it will continue to get a big handle because we're not going to have college football, though we got some good news, at least with a Pat Forty article yesterday. And that's a question, too, about the UFC. when the NFL's back, will the UFC kind of get lost and go away?
All right, follow the money here on VSiN. Mitch Moss, Pauly Howard, Paul Charchi in Fantasy Football Hall of Famer coming up in about 15 minutes, rolling along here on a Thursday. Paul, let me run this by you real quick. While we were going to a break, Jordan Spieth eagled his second hole today. He's at 2 under. That now, so of the players I'm about to mention, they're all start. Let me go back. They all started at tee number 10 today. It's Wyndham Clark, Ben On, and Jordan Spieth. So we now have three golfers who have all eagled their second hole. Already, hole number 11 overall. Are you kidding me with this?
Wow.
Three eagles out of the gates. Same hole. Beautiful. Already today.
Okay. Yeah.
By the way, I had him in the betting queue last night. Jordan Spieth 95-1. He got up that high at Circa.
Really? Oh, yep. Wow. Oh, yep. The mighty have fallen. That's crazy. Yeah, mm-hmm. The love affair with NBC Sports Gold is coming to an end. I keep freezing up here, too. So that is Frank B. Mitch with the raccoon video. And he just got back to me on email. He said his first email was, they're resourceful animals. They've taken over the cantina I go to. They will organize and scheme to steal your tacos. In the video, I'm feeding them raw tortilla dough. But they'll come out of the ceiling to steal your food. One distracts you while the other one drops from the ceiling and swipes your plate. The girl I'm with refused to sit down after one dropped right on the table and made off with her quesadilla. It's a mile from my place in Mexico. I go here often. Sometimes you just give them the tortillas to give them to eat and they go away. Bring on the NBA, Frank B. He also said that the owners just decide to deal with them and put up with them. There's like going to be 20 raccoons hanging out there at the cantina. Well, again, they're coming right up to them like the little dogs.
I got to be honest. Again, they look pretty friendly.
Yes, they do. They do. But can you imagine? I can understand why the girl's flustered and scared when they're dropping from the ceiling. They're coming off. That's funny, too. One of them's jumping on the table and taking a tomato.
So it's like a magic show. They get together. It's a racket they got going. Wow. They deceive people. Wow. Right. Look over here. Right. Let me distract you for 2 seconds. And meanwhile, look at this. Larry over here is running away with your burrito.
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, he's living the good life. I got the ducks and the Canadian geese. Look at this video. Oh,
he's living the good life, feeding the raccoons at the restaurant. Yeah.
There's 10 raccoons in that restaurant, in that cantina.
Come on. My easily.
God, they're easily. They're just jumping up on it. I can't believe he said calm, cool, and collected with the raccoons. There we go. Look at Frank. Look at Frank just hanging out like they're ducks or little puppies. I mean,
they're all trained the way it looks. Seriously. And look at how accustomed he is to being there. He's right. I mean, he goes there all the time. You can tell this.
Uh-huh.
They're super friendly towards him. Because how many times would it take you to get used to actually doing this with a raccoon? I went on the first try. There's no chance I'd go running the other way.
There's the guy on the table. There he is again. Sure. Look at him. Look at the sneak attack. Look at that guy. Guy just jumps right up there. Look at that. They're everywhere. Holy cow. Yeah, get the hand sanitizer, Frank. There you go.
Comes back, gets some more.
Oh, my God. What a scene.
Best buddies for life.
Yeah, that is awesome.
Oh, you know what this is like. This is not like dogs. Paul, have you ever done this before? Have you ever? Well, I don't think that you were probably a big fisherman when you were younger, but
no, I hated the outdoors.
Did you? Yeah, looks like it. So when you would take like bread and go all like on a fishing dock. And you'd see like, well, this is me speaking now from the Midwest. You'd have like a bunch of bluegills come up. We call them sunfish. And you just drop the bread in that way. And you, it looks exactly like the raccoons. You have 15 fish just come to the top of the water. And whoever gets it, gets it. And you sit there and you feed them for 10 minutes. So the bread's gone. Same thing.
Yeah. I didn't like the fish. Minnesota guy. I hated hunting, fishing, all that. Set up a deer stand for what? Wait, come on. What are we doing?
I was not a big fan of deer hunting either.
I can't believe how big deer hunting is in the Midwest and duck hunting and all that stuff. It just
turkey hunting.
Come on. Yeah. You know, just seems like an excuse to get away from the family, which I'm all for. But
okay.
Yeah.
I do like me some fishing though. Getting out on the lake. Come on, in a boat. Beautiful day outside. That's pretty tough to beat.
Rather have afternoon soccer.
Lake house is the dream, ultimate way to live. It's Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss, along with Paulie Howard. You can get us on Twitter at VSiN Live, at Mitch Moss Radio, and at Paulie Howard. Up next, this is going to be a fun conversation. It's time we talk to friend of the show and Fantasy Football Hall of Famer Paul Charchian. How does he plan on gauging rookies with a very limited preseason, if we get one at all? We'll ask him about it coming up next.
Welcome back and welcome aboard to Bet Rivers. The top soccer leagues in Europe are entering the final stretch and the action to determine champions and relegations heating up. Make Bet Rivers Sportsbook your home for all your soccer betting. You can bet on matches from more than 30 countries and live stream many of the matches directly through the Bet Rivers Sportsbook app. It is awesome. And with Bet Rivers Sportsbook, you have the best of live betting and live streaming for soccer and most major sports anytime, anywhere, right on your phone. Sign up now. Get up to a $250 match on your first deposit. All bonuses are only one-time playthrough. No faster way to turn your bonus cash into real cash. Download the Bet Rivers Sportsbook app today. Must be 21. Playable in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Playable in New Jersey as PlaySugarHouse.com. Bet Rivers. And this is a great soccer card today. I can tell you that. Bruce is on later in the show. He got the big one in the championship with Leeds, who will pretty much guarantee promotion with a win. And I think they're going to win the league, and they're playing the worst team. Huge games in the Premier League today. Huge games in the Premier League. And we only have two matches left in La Liga. So everyone plays today. And with the exception of one, and they're all at the same time. Nine of them are at the same time with only two matches left.
We do have an answer, by the way, on Twitter. This is from Ray. We were talking about finding prop bets on players or coaches or managers wearing a mask during a game this year, if you could bet on that. I did not hear about this until Ray tweeted us by saying Clint Frazier on the Yankees already said he's going to wear one during games.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Okay. Thanks for that. I missed that. Good info.
Yep. So did I. Okay.
All right. Excellent. What do you think? Anything in soccer you like?
Oh yeah, I got a ton of notes on soccer. Do we have Charchian right now? I think he's ready to go. Okay, yeah, so we'll get to that coming up in a little bit, Paul. Okay. Howard, Paul Charchian, friend of the show, Fantasy Football Hall of Famer, joins the program now. This is always fun because it means that football is, in theory, right around the corner this year. Charch, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I know we're getting close, right? It feels like it might actually happen.
Hmm. Well, this is the first thing I want to talk to you about today. Because it was a great, coming out last year, a lot of skilled players from the draft, from college into the NFL. It was loaded at the very top with Joe Burrow at quarterback, a couple of other guys in there, including Tua and maybe Herbert. I believe it was 13 receivers taken in the first two rounds. So please share with us how you are approaching looking at rookie players in the fantasy world if we get a limited or potentially no preseason game at all to go on.
And by the way, it's so good to talk to you guys again. It's been too long. I hate the off season. Yeah. You know, we talked like one time for 7 months of the off season, and that's not okay. I'm not. This is in the 25 years I've been doing this professionally, Mitch and Pauly. This is the deepest draft pool ever because of what you just mentioned. We have this influx of crazy rookie talent this season that we just don't normally get. And add that to a combining, a returning strong pool of players that even a position like tight end, which has been an absolute disaster for years, is suddenly really, really deep with younger players coming up like Noah Fant and Tyler Higbee and Mike Gesicki. This is the year when you can execute any draft strategy you want, because later on in the draft, there's going to be guys at every position that can help you. And that's what's made this draft really unique for fantasy players, is the ability to kind of really just do what you want. You don't have to follow sort of the this year's playbook on how this particular draft is supposed to go. So, you know, if you have a particular orientation to wide receivers or quarterbacks or running backs or whatever, you can really go heavy on whatever position you like. If you want to slough one of those positions, you're going to find help later. So total flexibility in your fantasy drafts and auctions this year. And that's what makes this year special.
Well said. One more thing on the receivers end. 6 overall in the first round. Yeah, it was 13 in the top 2 rounds. Obviously, they're all very talented to go that high. And watching them in college, it all makes sense because they were so good. But was there like a landing spot or two for any of them that you would prefer over some of the other guys? Like, to me, C.D. Lamb going to Dallas was potentially just humongous.
Yes, and that's, you know, the only, and he's my number one ranked rookie wide receiver, and he's my number 22 receiver overall. C.D. Lamb is awesome, and he's going to have some game-changing receptions. Absolutely love everything that we saw in college. You know, the only question is there enough balls to go around in Dallas? But more often than not, when you talent just helps the other talent on the team. And so mm-hmm. I still feel really good about CeeDee Lamb, even though, sure, is he sharing with Amari Cooper? Absolutely. And, you know, ideally, Michael Gallup's not going to eat too much into his time. But the reality is defenses just can't guard all three. And if once CeeDee Lamb gets the ball in his hands, he is so special. And I it's not preposterous to say that CeeDee Lamb will end this year as the best wide receiver on Dallas.
Oh, wow.
Well, that's a strong statement. Okay.
Very good. How about these quarterbacks, Charge? What do you expect out of Tua, Herbert, and Burrow early, especially Burrow?
Well, especially Burrow, right? My highest-ranked rookie quarterback, of course. There's a real chance, just based on what we saw last year, that he just walks in. There's a chance right now Joe Burrow is in the top half of NFL quarterbacks right this minute before even training camp has started. There's a scenario here where he's just that good, walks onto the field and is transformative for the Bengals franchise. And that's, I'm sure they're hoping that, and I suspect he'll get there. But what I'm saying is he might be that right now. He may already be that good that he's already in that second, third tier of quarterback that makes, you know, from a fantasy standpoint, normally rookies, we don't even pay attention to those guys in the first year. This is a real opportunity for Burrow to absolutely shine. He's got a good running game to lean on. He's got a variety, a plethora of receivers to distribute the ball to. It feels like a really good opportunity for him to be so much more impactful than most first-year quarterbacks can be. And from a fantasy standpoint, while I wouldn't necessarily want him to be my number one quarterback, I absolutely want him on my roster as a number two quarterback. Mm-hmm.
Do you think Tua, and we have like a minute here, before we bring you back for another segment, do you think Tua and Herbert are going to get a lot of playing time this year?
It is half a season a lot, Mitch?
Yes, it is. I mean, to me, it is.
Then yes, you know, I which feels about right. And I think if these organizations are smart with these kids that got established veterans in Tyrod Taylor and Ryan Fitzpatrick, use them and let these kids learn a little bit off the bench. And I think there's nothing wrong with that. You know, for Tua, if only to protect his health and reacclimate him to football and, you know, and the no preseason and the no training camps and everything else. Man, I just think in the cases of those guys, I feel like Halloween would be a great time to see them.
Okay. Okay. Rolling along here, Mitch, Pauly, along with Paul Charchi and Fantasy Football Hall of Famer. Hold tight. Want to do one more segment with you. Get into Tom Brady, his situation with the Buccaneers, Lamar Jackson coming up. How high do you take him this year? And also what we told you about last year with Charch, his new fantasy football concept that really took off. It's going to explode this year. And if you've never played, trust me, if you play one time, you're going to be hooked for life. We'll explain that coming up next. Do not miss out on the action this upcoming football season. You can now enter the Westgate Super Contest, the Circus Sports Million, and the brand new Circus Survivor with the help of footballcontest.com. This proxy service has been helping people play for over a decade, and all you have to do is sign up in person. Then they're going to submit your picks throughout the entire season. VSIN listeners have an exclusive offer for a chance to win a free pair of Las Vegas Raiders tickets at the brand new Allegiant Stadium. And all you have to do is sign up today at footballcontest.com/VSIN. Again, that's footballcontest.com/VSIN. As we continue here with Fantasy Football Hall of Famer Paul Charchin on the program today, now the owner of GuillotineLeagues.com. And I want to tell you about Guillotine Leagues here. If you never heard any of the shows last year, I played in one for the very first time. I'll let Charch explain exactly how it works. But Charch, here's my analogy. I went skydiving when I was 19 years old, and it was probably the most exhilarating thing I've ever done in my entire life. I could sit here and talk to you about skydiving till I'm blue in the face about how great it is, but you're never truly going to know that feeling until you actually jump out of a plane yourself. That's the way I feel about Guillotine Leagues. I can sit here and go on for 3 hours and explain how much fun it was last year. Play it for yourself one time, and you're going to know what I'm talking about. It's that much fun.
Guillotine Leagues is exhilarating. You're right, and it's totally different. For anybody who is ready for a fresh, new take on fantasy football, Guillotine Leagues are perfect. The premise goes like this. You start the season with 17 teams, and there's no head-to-head. Instead, every week, the low-scoring team is eliminated from the league, and that team's entire roster of players goes to the waiver wire where everybody else gets to pick over those players. So if Christian McCaffrey has a bad week one and his team ends up being the low scoring team, all of a sudden Christian McCaffrey and the rest of that team's entire draft hit the waiver wire, and it creates pandemonium for those waiver wire bidding to try to get these great players that you normally could never have. And over the course of the season, you start building these crazy superstar teams, you and everybody else. And the anxiety on Monday when you're one of three teams that's at the bottom of the league and you need your tight end to get four catches for 50 yards so that you don't finish last and you don't get cut. It's absolutely exhilarating. And it's Guillotine Leagues and GuillotineLeagues.com. We love the style of play. And it's just the feedback was just so, so universally positive. I decided to build a whole site around Guillotine Leagues.
All right. Excellent. Good for you. Good for you indeed. Thanks. Now here comes Debbie Downer. Okay. So you have to be creative here. We have to put in guidelines. You have to have rules. Will we have a 12-game season? What if someone, Mahomes, gets a positive test Saturday night? He's out of cup. What do you have to have in place? What are you doing?
Well, so two things. One, at GuillotineLeagues.com, we're just drawing a line in the sand with 8 weeks. And so if the NFL plays 8 weeks, even non-contiguous 8 weeks, if they go four weeks on and then they take a pause, they come back for 4 weeks, we're in. We're calling it a season and we're awarding all our prizing and we're calling that a season. If they don't make eight, then we're refunding everybody's money. Even if you got knocked out in week one, if we don't pay prizes, you don't pay either. And so we're just drawing a line in the sand for week eight. Now, for everybody else and that's playing traditional, regular fantasy leagues, you have to think of a couple of things. One, same thing. How many weeks does your league need to go to be considered a valid season where your league is going to crown a champion and give out your league's prizes? And then secondarily, what are you going to do with the COVID designation? So in your scenario, Patrick Mahomes, God forbid, gets COVID. You don't have to drop him. So we're recommending that you create COVID slots for your team where you can stash these guys who have COVID, because the NFL will announce Dak Prescott's got COVID and Dak is going. We know we can safely assume Dak's going to be in quarantine for a couple of weeks, two, three, he'll probably miss two, three games. And then once he comes back, you take him off that slot. And you should be able to have as many of those COVID slots as you need if in case, God forbid, you end up in a scenario where, you know, five of your guys get COVID. And one last thing, by the way, for a draft strategy, you know, this thing could sweep through a locker room, right? The Seahawks could get a whole locker room of COVID, and then the Seahawks end up being taken out of, you know, end up sitting out as an organization for 3 weeks. So I think you have to you don't want to have seven Seahawks on your roster. I really think you need to think about that too. If you're thinking, man, how great would it be to have like every Chief? I'm going to have Patrick Mahomes, and I'm throwing to Tyreek Hill, and then I'm going to have Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And, you know, but the danger there, again, is if the whole locker room gets COVID, well, now you got a real problem on your hands. Mm.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I wanted to ask you about a theory of drafting all Chiefs. But at this stage of the game, with COVID still running like it is, yeah. I mean, it's not worth it, right?
No, probably not. I mean, the one angle that I do like for Chiefs, if you want to be a Chiefs-heavy draft, is Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who will get some time, and Damian Williams could be your starting running backs. You know, knowing that this is an offense that's going to be – is almost certainly going to be the highest-scoring offense in the NFL like they have been the last couple of years. And now you've got this 1-2 punch of guys that between them – should end up giving you really good running back numbers. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire will cost you a third rounder. Damian Williams will cost you an eighth rounder. And you can spend the rest of your draft at other positions, quarterback, wide receiver, tight end, and just go to war with those two Chiefs running backs every week.
Interesting. What are you expecting from Big Ben?
I'm pretty bullish on him. He's my number 12 ranked quarterback right now. And I, you know, given how long he's played, I don't think the time off is really going to materially hurt him. He comes back with a young group of receivers, but for the most part, not asking rookies or anything like that to have to step on in a meaningful way. So I'm actually pretty optimistic that Ben comes back to the similar production what we've seen in the past, which has largely been good. And really, I think only age is a consideration here. I think he's in year 16 right now, and you know, maybe this is the year when it all falls apart. So there's a little caution there, but really not a lot. And I'm pretty optimistic on him. Juju Smith-Schuster is one of the most polarizing guys in fantasy football. Some people think it goes right back to where he was two years ago when he was a top 10 wide receiver. And a lot of other people say, even with the bad quarterbacking last year, he should have been far better. And that's really the camp I'm in. I think Diontae Johnson is sitting on a breakout season, and I'm not sure that he's not better than Juju Smith-Schuster, and Diontae Johnson's one of my favorite sleepers this year.
What's the highest you could foresee yourself drafting Lamar Jackson? And let me throw an example at you. Let's say I'm guessing that he's going to go maybe late first round, certainly like high second round in most drafts, redrafts anyway. I know where I stand on this. It's a year-to-year thing, but he's so unique with the rushing yards. Would you rather have Lamar second round or Drew Brees like in the 10th?
Well, I'd consider taking Lamar as early as the third pick in the draft. So Christian McCaffrey is universally going number one. Saquon Barkley is universally going two. After that, I think it just goes to who do you want on your team and who's going to make your season more fun? Is there anybody outside of Patrick Mahomes that's more fun to watch than Lamar Jackson? I mean, every game and every play is just special with him. And that's part of what I just like having those guys on my team, because at the end of the day, Mitch and Paulie, fantasy football should just be fun. And I love having players that are electrifying to watch. When you're watching the Rams playing the Bucs and they break away to a game in Baltimore and you know that they're going to show highlights and you've got Lamar Jackson, you know, anything could happen. I mean, this could be a 50-yard bomb, or he might run for 50 yards for a touchdown. I don't know.
Yep.
I want to watch. And I love having guys like that on my team. Lamar Jackson right now, on average, is going off the board at the end of the first round, draft position 10 overall. Mm. But if you want him as high as 3, take him there.
Okay. How about Brady and Breeze?
Yeah.
Brady and Breeze are my number 10 and 11 quarterbacks. And obviously, I think we all know, you know, what Breeze brings to the table. But for Brady, there's a scenario here where he's really, really good again, because this is going to be more receiving talent than he has had really since Randy Moss was playing with him. We got to go back a decade to get to go that far back. What an amazing opportunity with Chris Godwin and Rob Gronkowski and Mike Evans. This is more talent than he's had in forever. Offensive line that was good last year, and then they threw a first-round pick onto it as well. This yep. might be an absolute resurgence for Tom Brady, where he could be back in the high 30s, low 40s for touchdowns, and he could be a top-5 quarterback again. So the upside for Brady to me is tremendous, and I think it was the perfect landing spot for him. And then when Gronk came on board, it just feels like the whole thing came back together.
Yeah, you mentioned at the top of the interview how it's been too long since we've talked to you, and I agree, but there wasn't anything going on with sports. How did you also work at KFAN. How did the number one sports station in the country, they had their largest ratings ever in June, up 40% from last year. Isn't this something where you could never say guys talk sports? That's gone away with what's going on. You didn't have sports. You had George Floyd, and yet people tuned in to their sports station in record numbers.
Yeah, right. In the middle of civil unrest, and we're the epicenter of the civil unrest. And here's our sports talk station. We, on our station, KFAN, we've never had the mandate to only talk sports. The point was always to just have interesting talk that people would want to hear. And that meant we always talked, all of our hosts always talked about things that were just relevant to all of us. And then that meant, you know, you could be silly, you could be political, you could talk current events, you could talk about Dark on Netflix, which, you know, I spend probably far too much time on. So yeah, that's, you know, it's been a real lesson in the importance of having radio hosts that can talk more than sports, and sports will only get you so far. And even when there's not a pandemic, and even when there's in civil unrest, sometimes there's just not interesting baseball in the middle of summer, and you need to have radio hosts who can talk about a lot of things and can be interesting a lot of different ways. And really blessed to be part of a station that understood that from the beginning and has always prioritized hosts who can do that.
Bingo. Well said.
Yes.
Terrific. Follow him on Twitter. He is at Paul Charchi. And congrats again. The website, I'm telling you, go there today, bookmark it. It's called guillotineleagues.com. Go check it out. Play in it one time. Get your friends involved as well. And you're going to want to play it every year moving forward. Charge, good to talk to you again, my friend.
Mitch, Pauly, it's been a delight, and I can't wait till we're back in our weekly cadence.
Yep.
You got it.
You're not the only one.
Yes.
All right, follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Up next, a soccer update, a golf update, and today's soccer card, and it is loaded, as Pauly said, 10 games in La Liga.